Gaffers and Sattler present 30 Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel.
Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel, with guest star for tonight, Miss Norma Talmadge, interviewed by Edward Stevenson, famous style creator for RKO Pictures. An added guest star, the sheriff of Los Angeles County, Eugene Biscaloo, and Dorothy After the Thin Man McNulty, a gang of Jessel jesters, and Tommy Tucker and his orchestra. And just at this moment, an added surprise, America's most beloved comedian, Eddie Cantor.
Cut it out, boys. Cut it out. We've got to make the best of it. We'll wait here in Jessel's office till he comes.
We don't like this job. We don't want
to
be on.
Listen, fellows, we can't quit. We've got to go through with it. We've already okayed the job by telegram.
Hey, Tommy!
Nick, here comes Jessel now.
Well.
Thank you. Thank you, folks, and thank you, everybody. An office full of people and musicians, it's a healthy sign. Which one of you fellows is the leader?
I am.
Fine. Well, I'm George Jessel.
Well, it's too late to do anything about it now.
I don't quite understand what you mean, young man.
It's just one of those things. I guess we've got to go through with it.
What do you mean? You're treating me as if I was a picture for the Giants. What kind of a treatment is that?
It's this program.
What do you mean it's the program? What's wrong with it? It didn't begin yet.
We accepted the job by telegram. Here it is. See?
Oh, yes, yes. The telegram. Oh, yes. It seems to have my name a little bit blurred there.
That's just it.
Yeah.
That's why we took the job. We thought it said Jolson.
Oh. Sort of a typographical error, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Excuse me, is that Miss Amy Arnell, your soloist over there?
Yeah. Amy, this is George Jessel.
Oh, well, there's nothing I can do about it now, either.
You mean you all got a telegram, too, I suppose, huh?
Yes, here it is.
Yes, I see. That's a little bit blurred there with the S's.
Yes, and I was so happy. I thought it said Jello.
Well, it looks like the whole thing was just a typographical error, yeah. Well, listen, this is my first program, boys. The first one I've had all on my own. What do you say to open with a good, snappy number? Come on. That's the spirit. That's the spirit. All right, folks. Tommy Tucker and his happy, contented serenaders begin the show with a song called After You. Hit it, boys. Not me, the number. This is a fine office. Where's my secretary?
Oh, well.
Okay, miss, I'm Mr. Jessel, and it's not a typographical error. See, now, I'd like to know who you are. What's your name?
My name is Dorothy McNulty, but I'm changing it to Pepsi 4-5. Although Winnie DeVere is a pretty name, too, don't you think so?
Yeah, that's a fine comment. I'm going to call you Miss McDopey. You don't mind, do you?
No.
And one thing, please, don't sing while you're working.
Who's working?
Now, look, Miss McDopey, has anyone answered my ad for Stooges yet?
Not yet, Mr. Fetzel.
Oh, let it go. But anyway, there's been an ad in the paper for 3 days. People are looking for work all over the country, and nobody shows up for me. I just can't understand it.
Neither can I, unless it's because I signed Eddie Cantor's name to it.
You signed Eddie Cantor's name to my ad? What was the idea?
Well, I figured on account of your being so new on the radio and just starting your own program, people would show up quicker if I signed Eddie Cantor's name to it.
Yes. Is Eddie Cantor going to sign your paycheck at the end of the week?
Well, I'd feel safer if he did.
Oh, come on, here. Don't change the subject. Tell me, did you put our address on the ad?
Oh, yes. I remembered the number. But, you know, I forgot to put in what street Hollywood Boulevard was on.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Now, look, Miss McDopey, I'm afraid I'll have to get another girl.
Well, that's well. Believe you me, there's enough work here for the two of us.
All right. Now, look here. We'll forget the whole thing. Now, if any of these stooges show up, send them right in. And before I forget it, order another chair.
Another chair?
Yeah. In case people come in, it looks funny for me to be always sitting on the floor. Eh? Now, look. I'm going into my private office for a conference, and if anybody comes in, wake me up.
Okay.
Come in.
Pardon me, Mantell. I'm looking for Jack Jessel.
You mean George Jessel.
George, Jack. What's the difference as long as you got work for me?
Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute.
It's a deal. Where do I hang my hat?
Now, look here. Will you listen to me? Who are you, and who sent you here?
I'm Hungarian, and nobody sent me. I'm seeing your ad in the paper for stooges, and I'm answering on the button.
On the button? Well, you didn't see my ad in the paper.
Oh, yes, I did. It was signed Eddie Kemper.
Is that so? Well, how did you know where to come?
Because I heard the first part of the program.
Oh.
Well, Jessel, don't you want to know me? I got a name.
You should have a number. Well, all right, what is your name, and what do you do?
Listen, Jessel, one question at a time. Don't try to get me mixed up. The name is George Washington Schlemiel.
Uh-huh. What is the George Washington for? Did you chop down a cherry tree, too?
Not me. I've been on your leaf for 2 years.
Uh-huh. Well, all right, let's get to it. What do you do?
Not so loud. You wake up Charlie Boy.
And who is Charlie Boy?
Charlie Boy is my stooge.
Oh, you got a stooge, too, I see.
What am I? Who am I that I shouldn't have a stooge? That's Charlie Boy over there.
Yes, he's a nice little thing. Looks like a Mack truck. Say, tell me, what is he pushing my piano around for?
Don't pay no attention to him. When anybody's looking, he likes to show off. Hey, Charlie Boy, put back the piano where it belongs.
It don't look good there.
Well, put it back.
Now, wait a minute. He's lighting one of my cigars, too. That Charlie Boy's got plenty of nerve.
You said it. It could kill him yet.
Here.
Charlie Boy, put down the cigar and come and shake hands with our new boss, Joe Jessel.
Not Joe George.
Don't be so particular. What's in our name?
All right, you call me when I don't like, and you'll find out. Now, come on, what do you do?
Well, I'm doing a little painting, a fancy kind of plumber, playing a little bit of fiddle, and sometimes for a sideline, I'm writing jokes and acting in pictures.
You're sort of a jackass of all trades, I see, huh?
giving the program to Jack Benny touch, huh, Jessel?
Yeah, yeah. Well, never mind about that. What does Sonny Boy do?
Not Sonny Boy, Charlie.
All right, Charlie Boy. What does he do?
He laughs.
He laughs? How can anybody tell when he laughs? He looks like an owl.
A howl? What's a howl?
A howl, an owl is a bird that can't see in the daytime.
Can't see what?
I don't know. I never showed him anything. Now, is that a sign?
Wait a minute, Jessel. I'm supposed to say that.
I know that, but I haven't gotten to laugh since I was a guest star. Now, go right ahead.
Well, Jessel, how's about it? Some jokes? Would you like to catch a sample?
All right, hurry up.
What kind of jokes do you like?
Well, I'd like funny ones.
Oh, a wise guy, huh? Are you ready, Charlie Boy? Give.
What's the greatest nation in the world?
America.
Why?
The U.S.H.
Why?
Because Columbus discovered it, Minsky uncovered it, and Roosevelt recovered it.
Oh, that's very, very good. That's very good, yeah. Very good.
This is sensational, isn't it?
It's not, no.
But wait till you're hearing the catch line. Charlie Boy, give out the catch line.
Today I am a dope.
That's a very... Now, come here. Come here. This must be crazy week. Dorothy, I guess I got to go through with it. I've just engaged this stooge.
What's his name?
His name is George Washington Schlemiel.
I think you ought to change
it. Yes, I figured you would, but I'm not going to. This is one stooge that's not going to have a Greek name. I can tell you that right now. He was born a Schlemiel and he'll stay a Schlemiel. That's the whole thing. I told you not to sing when you're working.
I'm working.
Oh, go ahead.
Have you got any stooges that you want to have killed, baby? Do you know any comics that you want to have killed, baby? I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll glare. They're stripped into I'll care till I get them all off the air. Then the people will be forced to listen to you.
If you don't mind my saying so, I think that you're a little bit dopey. You're as nutty as a big fruitcake and more besides. What did I ever do? I should get mixed up with you. I feel sorry for your mother if she ever has another. Just like you.
There are more Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges sold in California than any other make. For this amazing popularity, there must be a good reason. Not only one reason, but dozens of reasons why your next gas range should be the increasingly popular Gaffers and Sattler. Constructed for economy, convenience, simplicity, and perfection, Gaffers and Sattler ranges contain every modern innovation to make for better and easier cooking, all embodied in a range that was designed for and by the housewives of California. Before buying a new gas range, go to any appliance dealer and see for yourself the beauty and excellence of these fine stoves, every model of which is designed to beautify any kitchen, as well as to cook the most elaborate meals with the utmost of perfection and economy. Ask your local dealer tomorrow about the Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges and electric refrigerators.
It is my great pleasure to introduce our guest star, considered by millions the most glamorous actress the motion picture screen has ever known. Since her retirement from that activity, she is now called one of the best-dressed women in the world. And it is on this subject, fashion, that she will be interviewed at this time by one of Hollywood's foremost designers. All our listeners, no doubt, recall her brilliant performances in Smiling Through, Camille, Secret, Kiki, and many eight for them, many great other motion picture successes. I'm happy, and I'm thrilled and nervous and excited to present her. She was honored me in becoming my wife, Miss Norma Talmadge. Norma, I was just telling you folks just what a lovely girl you are, dear.
I want to thank them for their applause. And you too, Mr. Jessel.
Oh, Mr. Jessel. What did I do now, honey?
What time did you get in last night?
I was just saying to the folks what a lovely girl you are, dear.
Never mind that. How much did you lose playing bridge?
If you want the whole story about last night, it'll take up the whole broadcast, dear.
I don't care how long it takes.
Honey, I was telling the people what a lovely girl you are. I'll explain about last night later. The fella trumped my ace. You trust me, don't you?
No.
How charming. Is that what they're wearing this season? You know, I think I'd look lovely in overalls and a red carnation. Don't you think so? But kidding aside, we have a man here who at present is designing the gowns that Barbara Stanwyck shall wear in the forthcoming RKO picture, Breakfast for Two, with Herbert Marshall. I present him now, ladies and gentlemen, RKO's fashion stylist, Mr. Edward Stevenson.
Hello, George. Hello, Norma.
Hello, Eddie.
As usual, you look charming, Norma, and I want to tell you that at the premiere of Zola, I thought you were the best-dressed woman there.
You're very kind, Eddie, but I don't think I was. Did you notice Lily Pons? She was dressed in white chiffon with full flowing skirt, emphasizing her tiny waist.
Yes, and her wrap was one of the dramatic fall notes, a striking cape of bronze velvet, tying simply at the neck with cording of self material.
She did look charming.
I'm glad you liked it. I designed that. Norma, do you think a gown must be expensive to look well?
No, I don't. I think taste counts more than money. Because some of our little shop girls look smarter than some of the most expensively gowned women I've seen at Palm Beach.
What is your favorite dress, Norma?
A gown of black flat crepe.
Why?
First, because one looks slimmer, and second, because one never tires of it.
For your next dinner party, Norma, I'd like to design a dress for you of black crepe, shirt from waist to neck, allowing the same folds to form more shirring on the short cap sleeves. I'd make the skirt as straight as a lamppost, and that would give you the new streamlined silhouette. With this, you'd wear an important green alligator belt, and of course, if you have a sense of humor, you must this year wear one of the high, mad hats.
I'd love it, Eddie.
Have you any other suggestions?
Yes. When it's finished, send the bill to Mr. Jessel. Thank you very much, Eddie. Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you.
This is a thrill. You're playing Roses in December, the number one song on the radio. And the reason why it thrills me is because, well, I happen to have written the lyrics to that song. And Tommy, it's a great surprise to me to see that you're playing it on this program, and believe me, I appreciate it.
A great surprise, eh? Didn't you say if we didn't play Roses in December, we'd get fired? What are you surprised about?
Folks, I want you to meet this Tommy Tucker sometime. He's a hot sketch. Just full of fun, natural clown. Keeps you laughing all the time. Ought to be with Keith. Rat. Nevertheless, the boys are playing Roses in December.
Business, and I forgot to tell you that I'm also a ladies' dress designer.
Is that so? You ought to design yourself a straitjacket and stay in it. How do you like that?
Incidentally, how much are you going to pay me for the last joke I'm giving you?
How much am I paying you? That was my joke. Milton Berle took that joke from me.
I know it, but I'm taking it from him, and I'm selling it back to you.
That's so.
And believe me, I'm losing money.
Well, now, look, I don't want to buy any jokes at all.
Maybe you can use a nice umbrella?
No.
A fountain pen?
No, and if you don't get out of here, I'm going to whistle for a policeman.
I got him. Two for a quarter. The finest police whistles in the country.
Who whistled for an officer?
Well, Sheriff, this is a treat. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who answered that call to duty is one of the most beloved officials that the state of California has ever known, Sheriff Eugene Biscalo.
What seems to be the trouble, George?
There's no trouble. The man don't want to buy nothing. He's a cheapskate, that's all.
When I hear, Sheriff, this man is annoying me, trying to sell me jokes. Can you imagine such nerve, him trying to sell me jokes?
My boy, we officers of the peace try to be as kind as we can. Have you ever done anything like this before?
Yes, I went to Eddie Cantor and I tried to sell him some jokes.
What happened?
Cantor sold me an antique table.
You wait outside, young fellow. I want to talk to you.
Well, Sheriff,
I know what you're up against, George.
Yeah.
We have the same thing in our line. Of course, we appreciate suggestions. But it seems that everybody else wants to tell the other fellow his business.
Isn't it true?
Say, by the way, that reminds me, George, here's a good joke that I made up, which you might be able to use.
Everybody's in their own line. Well, go ahead, Sheriff. Go ahead.
All right. A friend of mine is a masseur.
A masseur? You mean a fellow who rubs people down?
Yes.
Who does he rub down?
Walter Winchell.
Well, what about him?
That makes him a Winchell wiper.
Miss McDopey? Well, I get my secretary. Miss McDopey, get the patrol wagon for Schlemiel and Sheriff. Will you step in with them? Thanks very much, Eugene. It's a great pleasure to have you.
Mr. Kessel,
yes,
that Adagio dancer is here.
The Adagio dancer, who?
Yeah, you know, the Adagio dancer. The fellow that throws his girl through the air.
He's supposed to be playing in San Francisco this week.
Well, he couldn't go. He says he don't remember where he threw his partner.
Is that so? Listen, College Humor, is there anybody else here to see me?
Yes, a little girl, 7 and a half years old. She sings like Lily Pons.
A little girl, 7.5 years old, that sings like Lily Pons. That's hard to believe. Well, bring her in.
Here she is, Mr. Bell.
Well, here she is right now. Come right over here. Josephine Starr. Folks, ladies and gentlemen and children who are listening into this program, when this little girl finishes her number, it's going to be hard for you to believe that she's only 7.5 years of age. And, honey, let me tell you something. A little later in the program, there's going to be a gentleman come out here with very large eyes, see? And he'll hear you sing, and he'll come to you, speak nice, and he'll say, honey, I have 5 little daughters, too, just like you. And don't you go with him, dear, because you're on my program. He's a boogeyman, you understand?
Oh,
all right. Little Miss Starr's going to sing the street song from Victor Herbert's Naughty Marietta.
Oh, my heart is soft in Napoli, in Napoli, in Napoli. Oh, the hands of it, oh, the hands of it. Oh, the hands of it, oh, the hands of it.
Hollywood leads the styles of America's women. Gaffers and Sattler set the style in California's gas ranges and electric refrigerators. In fact, so perfectly constructed are Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges that almost any cook will find Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges that almost any cook will find gas ranges and electric refrigerators. In fact, so perfectly constructed are Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges that almost any cook will find gas ranges and electric refrigerators. In fact, so perfectly constructed are Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges that almost any cook will find gas ranges and electric refrigerators. In fact, so perfectly constructed are Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges that almost any cook will find remarkable improvement in her favorite dishes when they're prepared on a Gaffers and Sattler stove. In the manufacture of these fine ranges, every consideration has been given to improvements that make cooking the Gaffers and Sattler way the best way. Whether baking, frying, broiling, or stewing, you'll find new stewing, you'll find new pleasures, new appetizing flavors, and new thrills in preparing the family meals the Gaffers and Sattler way with natural gas, the modern fuel. Before purchasing a new gas range, ask your dealer for a demonstration of the Gaffers and Sattler. For the same price that you will pay for an ordinary range, you may have this remarkable new, convenient, economic, and scientifically constructed range. And remember, too, that every Gaffers and Sattler model is designed for beauty as well as efficiency.
Folks, my pal, everybody's pal, the most important comedian of his generation, Eddie Cantor.
Thank you, Georgie. Thank you, lady. Don't go crazy. Remember, this is for nothing.
Eddie, are you surprised that I called on you, really?
Georgie, nothing you ever do could surprise me.
No. I want to know, what were you thinking about when you were sitting out here in the audience?
Georgie, I was really thinking how lightly the years have fallen on you, really.
Oh.
And, you know, tell me, what were your thoughts when you saw me in the audience?
Eddie, I looked at you and I was just thinking how rich I'd be if I had your eyes full of quarters. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah? You know, I wouldn't be poor if I had your nose full of nickels.
All right, now look, remember, this is my program. And by the way, you haven't told me how you like it so far.
Georgie, this is 9-11. You got a quick start. It's smooth, running along at high speed, just like fire chief gasoline to my friend.
All right, wait a minute.
Give you that lightning act. Go to the news.
Oh, come here. I'm here to talk about me or fire chief gasoline.
You know, I can't make a living from you.
Listen, I know you're kidding me, but I want to tell you what I think. I think among showmen, I consider you as a giant.
A giant?
Yes.
You know, it'd be much more complimentary if you said a Yankee.
Yeah. Hey.
Seriously, Georgie, you know, I truly get a great kick out of standing here and gabbing with you, and I do wish you well on your new radio series.
Thanks.
Concentrate on this job, and it won't be long before you're a top-notcher on the air, as you have been in the legitimate theater and at the speaker's table from coast to coast. I mean, that's from the heart.
Thanks, Eddie. That's very nice. Thank you for your good wishes. You know, I know you a long time. We played together at least 25 years ago. As a matter of fact, right here in Los Angeles in Gus Edwards' Kid Cabaret in 1912. So I don't doubt your sincerity at all, Eddie.
Georgie, I've had many a thrill out of you in this past quarter of a century. And I want to tell you that the greatest thrill, the most supreme thrill I've ever had, was the night that you opened on Broadway in the stage play The Jazz Singer. That opening night I shall never forget. Your grand performance. And you know, when the curtain dropped, the finish of the third act, and when the audience rose in a body and cheered you, I'm not ashamed to tell you that I cried. I cried like a baby, Georgie. I cried to think why a big dope like you should get the part instead of a guy like me.
Oh, get away. George, well, how did you like the show? You thought it was delicious? Oh, now, Mom, you got to watch your English, and particularly your grammar. Well, I know he does, but that's got nothing to do with you. No. I want you to watch your English. I don't care if he does produce great moving pictures. Look, Sam Golden is not my mother. You are, dear, and I want you... Not my mother. You are, dear, and I want you to watch everything. And look, Mom... Watch everything. And look, Mom, tell all the neighbors, and be sure and listen in next week at the same time, at 3 o'clock Pacific time, 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Good night, Mom. Good night, everybody.
George Jessel, Norma Talmadge, Tommy Tucker's music, Amy Ornell and the Tommy Tucker Trio, Dorothy McNulty and our guest stylist, Edward Stevenson of RKO Pictures, have just been brought to you in 30 Minutes in Hollywood. Next week, George Jessel and Norma Talmadge in 30 Minutes in Hollywood will feature the guest appearance of that celebrated comedy team, Weber and Fields, brought to you direct from Hollywood through the facilities of the Don Lee Network. This program has been a presentation of Gaffers and Sadler.
This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.